Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on 91.5 FM. We are thankful that you are choosing to spend the next half hour with us. If you have missed the last few programs, I encourage you to go back on the WMIEFM.com internet page. Scroll down all the way to the bottom, listen, or click on the listen on demand portion. You can type in the date, whether it's Monday or Friday or Thursday, and go back and listen to the last few broadcasts. And I believe that you will be greatly encouraged by the Word of God as we have been going through Psalm 18. We're looking at the fact that God is our deliverer, that He delivers us from evil. You have no idea how many times that I have to rein in my gift of sarcasm. It is a perpetual battle for me. I was raised in a family where people were all the time joking and kidding with one another, and sarcasm is pretty much my native tongue. It is a language that we speak fluently. Now, I love to tease people. I also like it when people tease me. I run into a bit of a problem where a person loves to speak their mind, but you can't speak their mind back to them. And so if I know that a person can't be teased, I will not tease them. I just won't do that. I don't mean to be mean. In fact, I tell my congregation that the reason that I tell jokes about myself is because I know that I'm not going to get mad at myself. So I like to use me as the object lesson. And so if I need to make a joke, to make a point, then if I can, I'll use me as the person who's, you know, joke worthy material. Believe me, there's enough about me and my past and everything to laugh at. I could joke about myself for the rest of my life and never run out of material. It's just, I love to laugh. And so when it comes to, managing that, culture that I was raised in, I have to hit the delete button a lot. And so whenever there's something that takes place, I know this, I am not, I may not be the most intellectual person on the planet. I may not be the most political. Everybody's got an opinion. I've got an opinion, but not everybody needs to hear my opinion. And so there are a lot of times where I post or want to go to post something or say something, and all of a sudden I hit the delete button because it's like, you know, that's probably not going to make the impact that I want it to make. You know, so the Holy Spirit delivers me from future problems by controlling my tongue or my virtual tongue, if you're talking about social media, in advance. And so we're talking about the Word of God, things that He will do, and what the ramifications of that deliverance is going to look like. So we're in Psalm 18, and I want to take you back to verse number 28. Verse number 28. For you, God, will light my lamp. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? So we're going to stop there in verse number 31. This was a psalm that David had written. And in fact, my highlight says this, that this was the words to the song on the day that the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, so when we talked yesterday about the will of God, that he would be merciful, he'd be faithful, he'd be blameless, he'd be pure and holy, he would save the humble, he would humble the arrogant, he will light our lamp, and he will enlighten our darkness. Verse number 29 begins to describe the behavior that takes place in our lives as a result of what God will do in our lives. You see, we have gone in this passage from the things that God had already done to the things that he wanted to do, and now we're looking at what that activity, that will of God in our lives will accomplish, what he is doing in our life right now. David said, "For by you I can run against a troop." You have to remember that David had a covenant relationship with Jonathan. Okay? So David emerges on the scene when he goes against Goliath. Everybody is shaking in their boots except for David, and David says, "I can go and take on this giant." Now, you've got to understand that the Israel army, the Hebrew army, was not just shaking in their boots because of Goliath, but because behind Goliath was the Philistine army. But they had such confidence in Goliath, they said, "I tell you what, Goliath, you go fight the battle. We'll get them to send one of their soldiers out, and we'll get this done without any of us losing our lives." That was the confidence of the Philistine army. David shows up, hears the arrogance and hears the boasting and the disdain in Goliath's voice, not just for the people of God, but for God himself. And David says, I can do this. I can do this. And he when he's talking to Goliath, he says, "Today God is going to give you into my hand." David knew what it was like to go against a military force that was more powerful than he was, because he had already gone against wild beasts who had tools that he didn't have and was victorious. I saw a picture last week of a lady who was on her cell phone, and she didn't realize that there is a wild grizzly bear that is way, way too close to her. I mean, if that grizzly bear had taken three or four steps, she's lunch. I mean, way too close. Way too close. You just don't go in that proximity of a bear or a lion. With, I don't know if you've ever seen the commercials where there's a child at a zoo and there's a glass wall in between, and the lion is staring there looking at the child and all of a sudden begins to lunge because there's lunch. And the only thing that keeps them apart is this clear glass wall. David said, "I don't care how big the army, I don't care how large the enemy is. With God's help, I can run against a troop." After that day, now remember, Jonathan was in that first group of people that were there the day that Goliath came forth as well. But you find out that Well, let me just change. I might have my timeline a little mixed up right now. But Jonathan also realized that with God's help, he could run through a troop. To the point that one day he tells his armor bearer, let's go over to the Philistine camp. And they said, okay, let's go. I think this was before, my timeline, my brain is not working with a great deal of accuracy according to the timeline. Anyway, they climb up and there are Philistines that are there that outnumber Jonathan and his armor bearer. And Jonathan says, look, if this is the way that they greet us, we're going to know that God has given them into our hand. It doesn't matter how many of them there are. There was another guy who had a lentil patch, and the enemy came in to destroy his harvest. And that guy said, one of David's mighty men said, no, this belongs to me. Today, I want to encourage you to have a relationship with God that says, God dwelling inside of me is bigger than the enemy in front of me. A lot of times we want to get those things mixed up to where we think that the God who's living inside of us is living inside a bunch of grasshoppers. That's what the Israelites said when they were preparing to go into the promised land. We looked like grasshoppers to them, and they thought we looked the same way as well. We were like grasshoppers in their sight, and that's what they thought of us too. Just a bunch of grasshoppers. Well, they actually find out 40 years later that the enemy did not think of them as grasshoppers. They thought of them as overcomers. 40 years they lived under the belief of a lie that the enemy was more powerful than what they were. Today I want you to know that because of God, you can run against a troop. It says, by my God, I can leap over a wall. I can leap over a wall. Let me put that in a little bit of modern language to you. What obstacles are you facing in your life? Is it a lack of education? God can help you with that. Is it a lack of resources? God can help you with that. Is it a lack of relationship? The body of Christ was built for relationship. God can help you with that. You know, I tell people that when I came to Merit Assembly of God, been there for 27 and a half years, that I had conversations with some pastors. I'd been a staff pastor about three different states, and then I came to Florida. I was a staff pastor here, and then I became the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. And during that time, I had conversations with people, and we didn't have, you know, the brand new facilities. We didn't have any financial resources. We didn't have a lot of connections or anything like that. And so I had conversations. What do we do? And they said, well, what you need is you need experience. And so there I was. I was young. And I said, you know what? God can help me with the experience factor. And so when people said, oh, that church can't hold any people, I said, but God can. And he is. And they said, oh, that's a church with no money. And I said, well, I'm not looking for men for the financial resources. I'm looking to Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. He can provide the. And so every objection, every wall that people put up that had to do with the past of the church was 40 years old at the time. And yet when I came, there were six people in the congregation that first Sunday besides the four people in my family. And the first offering was $37. And the stack of bills that I was presented with before I preached that first message was hundreds of dollars. It's like, oh, welcome to the ministry 101. Whew, cold. You talk about barriers. We had barriers. But did you know that God can empower you to be able to overcome every hindrance and every limitation? Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. So it doesn't matter what the obstacle or the hindrance may be. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, then let me encourage you to know he intends for his power to dwell inside of us that will help us to overcome every limitation and every hindrance in Jesus' name. So that's just a tremendous reality. By my God, I can leap over a wall. So God can deliver you, whether that wall is a prison or whether it's an obstacle, he can help you get over that. Okay? If it's your past, God can help you rise above the limitations of your past. What happens when God causes a vision inside of you to be greater than the things that stand in between you and that vision becoming a reality. You don't get discouraged because you know it's only a matter of time before that wall is torn down. It says in verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven." Now, I will take you back to the story about David for just a moment and let you know that Saul wanted to equip David before he went to battle against the Philistines. And he said, here, I want to send you out with my armor. If you remember the description of Saul in the Bible, it said that he stood head and shoulders above all the rest of the men of Israel when he was anointed king by Samuel. He was a tall man. David was just a youth. And they put Saul's armor on him. And David said, "These don't fit, and I've not proven them. They haven't been in battle with me before." It's one thing to know what has worked for you in the past and say, you know what? If we're going to experiment, let's not experiment in a life or death situation. Okay? The confidence, the faith that we have in God is a provable commodity. So David had proven that his sling and his stone were more than enough for a lion and for a bear. And he said, you know, I heard this said one time the Hebrew army looked at Goliath and said, "He is too big to fight." And David looked at Goliath and said, "He's too big to miss." You know, it's like, I'm going to go out there and there's no way that I can miss him. David had strengths that Goliath didn't have and that Goliath couldn't compete against. David had proved. The Bible talks about that when it comes to our finances, that God actually invites us. He says, "Test me in this. Prove me in this. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you do not have room enough to contain." The Bible says that that Jesus, after his resurrection, demonstrated many infallible proofs. In other words, it wasn't deception. It wasn't just wishful thinking. The events recorded in the Word of God are extremely reliable. A lot of people want to approach the Word of God and say, well, you know what? The first thing that we have got to do is take away the unexplainable. And they begin to remove the supernatural aspects of God to try and make a natural understanding of the Word of God. They want to reduce the Word of God down to an understanding that man can, it won't be a strain for him. My approach is this. If God is an infinite God, then he is bigger than my finite mind is going to be able to understand. I pray that you experience the goodness of God that every once in a while is going to break forth into new ground in your spirit and in your understanding. And you say, wow, I've never seen that before. So whenever I'm facing a situation or I hear a prayer request, the first thing that I do is begin to go back into my memory banks and review situations that God has proven himself over and over and over again. If I find a situation is brand new, I don't shrink back and say, well, I don't have any experience with this, and so therefore I'm not going to be able to see a victory in this area. Instead, I look at it and say, wow, we're getting ready to see God do an amazing thing. We're getting ready to see something that we've never seen before. And I'm not talking about, you know, just theory. I've got situations that we've had in our lives that doctors have said, there is no cure for this. This person is going to deal with this. And every time I would hear of a breakthrough, they would try and explain away why that breakthrough wasn't going to work for my family member. And every once in a while, a situation that is supposed to be deteriorating doesn't deteriorate, it improves. You know, there's a lot of times people say, well, you know, if you had faith, you wouldn't need to take the medicine that you're on and stuff like that. Let me tell you what happens. If you take medicine that your body no longer needs, I've got a child that if it wasn't for the gracious gift of God to medical science, that child would have been promoted to eternity a long, long time ago. I'm thankful for medical science, but I'm also thankful that medical science is an expanding field and that God is the God of the expanse. I'm thankful for what medicine is able to do, but God is able to do even more. And so we continue to believe, and occasionally we even get to see some evidence that says, you know what? We continue to believe that God is going to deliver that person from this affliction. So I'm not discouraged with chronic situations. I just continue to pray and believe. I'm going to continue to pray, even though people I've been praying for aren't saved yet. I'm still going to be preaching that Jesus is saved, that Jesus is the Savior. And I've been praying for people in my family and in our church that they would be healed. They haven't exhibited the healing yet, but I'm going to continue to preach that Jesus is the healer because I'm believing that that healing is going to manifest. I know he's the soon coming King. And so there's no other source of the words of eternal life. So I'm going to continue to believe Jesus. No one has the track record he does. Let him and his word be perfect in your life. Treat his word. As for God, his way is perfect. His way is a way of maturity. Have you ever known a person that behaved in an immature way and everybody looked at him and said, that's immature? Let's be people that when we respond to the situation, the reason that I put it in maturity is because the Bible word for perfection and maturity are very closely linked there. I'm not a perfect person. You're not a perfect person. I know that comes as a surprise to you, not about you, but about me. I'm just joking. We do behave in a mature way. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child and I acted like a child, but there came a time when I had to put away childish things. As for God, the word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. He is a shield to all who trust in him. On every piece of currency, it says, in God we trust. In God we trust. No matter what you're going through today, and we're all going through something, remember, it's God who's your shield. He's your fortress. He's your sanctuary. He's your safe place. And unlike a fortress that we run to and take shelter in and it's immobilized, we are a kingdom that is on the move. We're constantly moving forward. And I don't ever want to stop moving forward. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And I pray today that you would say, God, I trust you. I may not understand. The situation may look very grim, but I trust in you. And you know what? I am going to run against a troop, and I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be able to leap over every hindrance in my life. I am going to trust in the word of the Lord because it is faithful and true. It endures for all generations. It's never, ever, ever going to pass away. Isn't that what you would like to cling to? I don't know if you've ever seen things that people are clinging to. They fall off the cliff and they grab onto a root, and all of a sudden the root begins to give way, and they're like, really, I couldn't have grabbed a hold of something that had a little bit more stability to it. I want you to understand, we don't cling to God and he's in a precarious position. He is the anchor of our soul. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I was walking on a 2x12, and the guy said, so he watched me very apprehensively, and he said, do you have trouble trusting when you're walking on the ground? God is trustworthy. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh
Radio program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Since I am in need, since I have